All right, welcome back to Agents of Cool, where on this wonderful September afternoon, we're doing a trailer reaction for the second recently released trailer for the new James Bond movie, No Time to Die. This is your Grumpy Number Six, as always, joined by
Stacy
and
Ray.
All right, second trailer, No Time to Die. Daniel Craig's fifth and probably last James Bond movie. Delayed for reasons of apocalypse. Supposedly in theaters in November. Will we be in theaters in November? We don't know yet, but we'll talk about that another time. Right now, I really want to hype this freaking trailer because, oh my God, that was like an extremely exciting trailer. I just watched it with Mrs. Number Six, who is not a huge Bond fan, but she was ready to put on shoes and go to a theater and watch it this second.
Yeah, it was. No, it's a good trailer. I'm kind of hoping they left something for the movie, though, because there were an awful lot of really cool action sequences in there, and I'm like, you know, save some steak to go with the sizzle, guys. I mean, let's not put every cool scene in the trailer.
Well, if we get like a piece of every cool scene and all those cool scenes play out in a 2.5-hour movie, I think we're going to be okay.
We'll be entertained, but we'll be surprised. I mean, like, you know, my big gripe about Iron Man 2, right? The briefcase armor in the trailer just completely, you know, that's coming as soon as somebody grabs the briefcase. There's no suspense. There's no wonder of what's going on. It's just we're waiting for that scene to drop. So some of these scenes are like, I mean, it's an impressive scene. It's really good. But, you know, I hope there's more to some of them or some surprises or twists so it doesn't become, oh, here's the big action set piece on the bridge. Okay, here's the Range Rover doing somersaults over Bond's head, right? Oh, the glider turns into a submarine. Who saw that coming? Everybody watched the trailer. You know, that's the thing I worry about. You know, I want to be surprised and just jaw agape when I go in there, not, oh, yeah, that's cool scene in the trailer.
Well, they've never let us down yet. And remember when they did Mission Impossible Rogue Nation and you saw the thing where he's hanging out on the outside of the airplane and then they run that in the first 5 minutes of the movie?
Yeah, and that's fine. Because, I mean,
So there may be some surprises, yeah.
No, I mean, that one, there were still some neat bits there, but at least that one, that big giant, okay, oh, my God, Tom, you know, the makes the underwriters cringe scene, they at least front-loaded it, so it wasn't, you know, it was kind of, that was the before-the-credit sequence, right? You know, that was the...
That's right, and they ran that in the trailer, knowing it was the pre-credit sequence, just to get it out of the way.
Yeah, but, okay, which one is...
From the trailer, we're expecting that to be the big finale scene, and they ran it first. Right. So sometimes they pull a bait and switch on you.
Right,
We're not going to be disappointed.
No, we're going to be entertained. I like being surprised. I like going, oh, my God, I didn't see that coming. And if I see it in the trailer, I literally can't not see it coming. That's, you know, it's...
Eric has a point that they're just snippets of the scenes, though. Presumably there will be longer action sequences with more exciting bits.
Well, I know. Exactly. It was okay, the spinny glider thing was out of the plane, right? Starts arguing towards the ocean, and Bob's like, you know, other 007... Other 007 in the wings fold, and oh, it's also a submarine. Well, like that scene in Sky Captain, right, where the plane turns into a sub, right? You know, the part of that's been that scene effective, but I don't think that was in the trailers. So maybe I'm remembering that it was, what, 20 years ago.
But now I'm waiting for the plane into submarines.
That's a classic.
If they don't show you that stuff, I mean, no one's going to come see the movie. They got to show you the exciting parts, or you're not going to be interested.
It's James Bond. Of course they're going to come see the movie. I mean,
we're going to see the movie.
Well, we might. I guess it depends. Well, okay, it turns out four-walling a theater, dear listeners, depending on where you live, actually isn't that expensive. So we might be able to see this in a theater. I want to see it in the theater. It looks like the kind of thing you know, you're going to want the big, giant, more speakers than you have immediate family members in the house scattered around there, you know, the room. You know, you want the screen bigger than your, you know, the entire square footage of your house. I want to see this desperately in a movie theater. Yeah. Whether we're going to be able to maybe is a, you know, more of a public health question. But, I mean, I'm not, again, I want to go out and see this movie right now. And it isn't just the cabin fever talking. I mean, it's a really good it's a really good trailer. I just, you know, I was more thinking, yeah, save something for the movie, right? You're saving something, right? Please, maybe a reveal somewhere. I don't know. I'm
pretty sure there's going to be plenty of surprises in this movie. I'm not worried about that. They're showing us some cool stuff to get the people who aren't necessarily on board for James Bond opening weekend like we are. I mean, we do this. Not everybody does this.
Fair enough.
They'll have surprises for us. I'm not worried about that.
I mean, yeah, they're playing around with masks and shattered masks and a villain with a, you know, some like, you know, I'm pretty sure there's going to be some twists around who's behind which masks, which, I mean, that's kind of really allegorical for James Bond movies.
Now, I am really excited we're seeing a straight-up supervillain this time.
Oh yeah, this guy.
He's a super villain. There's a lair. There's a plan to end the world because Dan Craig hasn't actually saved the world yet.
What was Spectre? I mean, they had like multiple lairs with like a secret meteorite lair, and you know.
I didn't say Spectre didn't have a lair. I'm just excited this movie has a lair.
Okay, fair enough. I mean, yeah,
Casino Royale didn't really have a lair. Quantum of Solace kind of had a hotel out in the desert, which is not really a lair. This looks like a straight-up classic supervillain lair, save-the-world James Bond movie.
Yeah,
I mean, like a straight-up Bond movie, and Craig hasn't really done A Spy Who Loved Me. Craig hasn't really done You Only Lived Once.
Did you get kind of a Dr. No vibe from the lair? You know, I kind of definitely got, you know, yeah, because basically the kind of the angled cast concrete walls and, you know, the guys in jumpsuits doing whatever they're doing in the koi pond, or maybe it was going to be the evil bioweapon pond. We'll find out. This is a classic super duper villain lair vibe.
Exactly. I love that. I love it so much. He's a super villain and he played Freddie Mercury.
Oh, that is him. Okay.
Rami Malek. He was Freddie Mercury again.
I didn't recognize about the mustache and also probably the heavy scar makeup. So.
And without the tank top and the mustache and the teeth and everything else. What else? I got to say Ana de Armas, the girl he meets in the girl Leiter points him at.
She's awesome too.
Oh yeah,
She was the holographic companion in Blade Runner 2049.
Yep.
She refused to see, but was awesome.
No, you got to see Blade Runner 2049. They really stuck the landing.
You've also seen that, yes.
Really got to see that.
I believe we saw the last showing in Lexington of Blade Runner 2049.
And the projector crashed midway through and had to be rebooted.
Of course it did.
One of the characters says, no, but the thing is there is no Apple. And then the projector glitches out and the whole thing crashes. We're sitting in the dark in the theater. I'm thinking for a second. Oh, and that's the end of the movie? Ridley Scott, you epic troll.
Do you remember that time the projector crashed? We were about to watch Two Towers?
Mm-hmm.
Never have so many people who spoke Elvish been prepared to riot.
Let's see.
$5 says, and I personally don't have any spoiler on this, $5 says Lashana Lynch is playing 007. She's not just a 00.
Oh, no.
She's 007.
Wasn't that mentioned in the first trailer? We didn't rewatch the first trailer because I didn't want to get, you know, it confused in my head which scene was in which, but I think didn't they check that she's the new 007 in the first trailer?
No, they only said she was a new 00.
Well, she's got to be 007. Bond is retired. That's going to be an additional source of friction here. So yeah,
Just didn't market it as the new 007 because then there was all the, oh my gosh, they're making James Bond a black lady. It's like, no.
Well, no, not making James Bond a black lady. James Bond is James Bond, but 007. The code number can go with anybody.
Right.
And I just have the very strong feeling that's Barbara trolling the internet like it used to be trolled.
Well, again, trolling produces, you know, frankly, if somebody wasn't saying that, I would basically pay an intern to get on Twitter and say that just to start the firestorm because that gets people looking at the trailer. Wait, what? James Bond is a black woman? I need to watch this trailer. And, you know, Barbara Broccoli gets back, you know, basically sits, you know, stroking a white cat in her chair going, everything is going according to plan. Yes.
Yeah, I like that image. And you know what? I think she would too. What else have we got? Stunts. Yes, I like the Jeffrey Wright's back.
Yes. Very glad to see him again.
I love Felix Leiter in a Bond movie, as things should be. When the new 00, Lashana Lynch, says to Moneypenny, "I understand why you shot him." And she says, "Well, everybody takes a shot at it sooner or later."
The opening bridge stunt looks nice. I'm kind of curious.
That looks really impressive.
The villain car is a Maserati. I'm assuming Bond's new car is going to be an Aston Martin. Now, the question I'm wondering is, presumably there's a tariff for, okay, if you want to be the Bond car, you make out the check for this amount. If you want your car to be the villain car, it costs this much. If you don't want your car to be the villain car, it costs this much. I'm just kind of curious,
Exactly how they monetize that?
Yeah, I mean, is there cases where, if you don't want your – look, this is our villain. If you don't want your product associated with, Ernst Stavros von Douchebag, here, it's only going to cost you this much for us not to use whatever. I'm thinking mostly Quantum of Solace, is I would, not – if I was a car company, I would not want, my particular vehicle to be associated with Dominic Green because –
Ooh, what a bad villain.
Yeah, I mean, that's marketing blackmail. They really could have amped that up. It's like, hey, these other guys wrote this much to be the villain car, the good guy car, and we're going to make your car the villain. Oh, okay, we'll find somebody else, no problem. Yeah, we can do Peugeot. Yeah.
Let's see. Fight Jeffrey Wright, like Anna de Armas. I like Lashana Lynch a lot. Now, I do have – I have read elsewhere the car Bond's driving in this movie. Do you want to go ahead and tell you?
Sure.
I have read it's the Aston Martin from Living Daylights.
Mm.
Okay. That's interesting.
Which I think Living Daylights is an underrated movie in the canon, and I think that's a highly underrated car.
It's definitely the DB5 he's doing donuts in with the miniguns, which I think I guess that was instead of a gold watch, he got a tricked out car when he resigned from MI6.
Well, as I recall, at the end of Spectre, he just drove a wing in it.
What are you going to do? Tell him stop, come back with your heavily armed spy car, Mr. Assassin. No, you're going to wave and just do the title transfer.
Let's see. I still love Dan Craig. I still love Ralph Fiennes as M. What else? I still love the MI6 people. I think she's a terrific. I'm blanking on her name. Oh hell, I'm getting old. I like the whole MI6 crew. I like the M and the Moneypenny and the Q they've got lined up here. I'm not 100% sure. I'm like 99% sure Dan Craig signs off after this one, but if he has a good enough time and they back a big enough dump truck up of money up to his house, I'm not ruling it out.
Well, that's true. Or the thing is, I think. All right.
Interesting conclusion. As you point out, they're basically pulling out all the stops with how when they had to revive the brand with GoldenEye, they went as classic Bond as possible with all the bits. And then when they revived it again with Casino Royale, they went more low-key and more Bourne-like. But now that they seem to be finishing the Craig era with the big slam-bang, villain with a lair and all that. So
that's the spy who loved me, kind of, the spy who loved me, or you only live twice, or even Dr. No going back all the way to the beginning.
That is a good point because this started out okay. We want to go back to where's GoldenEye went, Megabond, and then Casino Royale went back. Okay, let's go back to just the basics, and it's gradually been ramping up to more and more. Spectre was. It had several twists in it, but you had a villain lair, you had a secret desert base, that kind of thing. So it looks like this one we're going back to full bore. We may be getting into Moonraker territory. This is apparently,
yes.
And I don't mean that in the bad way of like okay over you know clear over the top, but like okay no the plan is to basically the world will be to paraphrase I'll say Grant Morrison comic basically. The world will be mine, or it will be smaller.
Yeah, exactly. Listen, I don't think there's such a thing as a bad. There's no such thing as a bad Bond movie. I know people bitch about Moonraker. I don't care. I think Moonraker is a phenomenally entertaining motion picture. I love that it's got Ken Adam designs and it's got John Barry music and it's got Roger at the peak of his game. I know it's a space shuttle, but bite me. That's what people were talking about in 1970.
You can get Bond movies that are okay. It can be entertaining. It can be fun. Don't. But you can also get Bond movies that are maybe. Well, I mean, you can. How to put this? You can also get Man with the Golden Gun, which has some good bits. We dug those out, but we did have to, but it's it's kind of an uneven one, right? There's good bits in there, but it is kind of an uneven total shift from what you're kind of used to structurally, and it's just kind of...
Well, they were in transit. Let's just say they was in a transitional period.
Right. So, I mean, you can get one... I mean, Moonraker is fun to watch, but Moonraker, if on the absolute ranking of all James Bond movies, or even all Roger Moore Bond movies, there are ones that are much better movies... And there's some that are much worse. Don't get me wrong. If I had to, you know, I think I'd still rather watch Moonraker again than Man with the Golden Gun.
No, I would actually. Moonraker's one of my favorites. And actually, if you ask like my mom would tell you that one's probably her favorite. I don't actually have a lot going for it.
We need to do that one.
I think the next one we need to get to is Spy. We did Live and Let Die. We did Man with the Golden Gun. Then we started on The Prisoner, and then the world came to an end. So we probably should do Prisoner, the next episode of The Prisoner, and we should probably try to do Spy up next in our rotation.
Doing a podcast about being cooped up in one little social community, and you can't leave, and you can't go anywhere.
That's a good point. Doing The Prisoner at this point in time is a little on the nose.
Yeah, it's kind of like what was it? I think Last of Us 2 came out, and somebody, I haven't played Last of Us 1, but this is basically, you know, I don't really actually need a video game to feel depressed right now. I can exactly.
Although on the other hand, there is something to be said for Six's. How should I phrase this? Six's undying drive for undying drive to
not be
to
there.
Strive to seek and not to yield. To strive and I mean Six. Wants to escape. I want to survive. But Six is undying striving. I don't have that Wordsworth quote in front of me either. He's not going to yield. And in the face of what we're dealing with, I ain't going to yield either. Dying on a ventilator is not a good look for me, and I ain't going to do it because I got Bond movies to see. Not just this one, but for however many years to come.
Right. Well, the thing is, though, I mean, there's a number, and, you know, welcome, fans, to Prisoner Minicast. But, you know, there's a number of interesting tensions between the rights of the individual versus, you know, society as a whole explored the prisoner that we seem to be coming with rather different answers that, you know, under the current circumstances than people would maybe have this time back in 2019. Case in point.
That's true.
Great Britain just banned all public, you know, all gatherings of people more than six without so much as nary a flap. I'm like, okay.
And again, you know what? I tell you what. Let's put the prisoner off until this crisis is passed.
But that's an interesting. I mean, this is kind of there's some interesting stuff in there. And I'm not, you know, it's kind of there's a number of things we're perfectly, you know, people keep saying, you know, there's a number of things we're willing to accept now because, well, don't you know, there's war on that we would have bristled to hell and back again. So the question then becomes, what happens when there's not a war on? You know.
Because I always figured that we would never have that kind of, like, the World War II level of, well, of course we're all doing this because there's, you know, the country is at war. We really haven't seen that in any of the – I mean, we've still been at war a lot in our lifetimes, including for the last 20 years almost.
Oh, yes. I mean, we've pretty much been at – and we're recording –
Time out. Let's get back to our trailer, okay?
Let's
save that whole conversation for a Prisoner episode.
When we ever get around to it. And just, I guess, dear listeners, we should point out we're recording this on September 12th, 2020. So perhaps, you know, the last 19 years of Forever War are perhaps weighing a bit more heavily on our minds than they would any other day of the week.
As conscientious Americans, we're a little raw right now.
Just a little.
Just a little. Who can we count on? Who can we count on always, always, always to lift us out of our doldrums, to entertain us, to inspire us, to thrill us?
Bill Murray.
Who's always there for us? James freaking Bond. That's who. And I know there are people that don't buy into Moonraker the same way I do, but I love Moonraker. I was like 8 and we were at a drive-in and we were watching Moonraker and it's like... That's a good time at the movies. I don't care who you are. And those the special effects were amazing. And I think Roger – and I know there's moments of campy humor in the movie, but I will to my dying breath insist that Roger is actually a pretty good actor and that Roger played it pretty straight. I mean, there are moments of humor and there are moments of levity, I think, because Roger understands that these movies are fundamentally escapist. We've covered Quantum of Solace, which is not a bad movie at all. Like I said, I don't think there's anything, any such thing as a bad Bond movie. But Quantum of Solace, it's a little too grounded. Quantum of Solace, for my money, is just not enough fun.
It's forgettable.
Yeah.
I mean, Casino Royale was the brutal Bond who drowns people in toilets and so forth, rather than the, you know, high-flying adventure with volcano bases, but it was still really good and memorable. My problem with it is I had to watch it again to remember that it existed and what happened.
And we actually made a big deal out of that. We drove up to Cincinnati and saw it on the biggest screen we could get with our Cincinnati people, and we had like a whole adventure out of that one. And it still didn't make any more of an impression than that.
Well, the adventure, the getting there and getting back is more memorable than what we saw at the theater, which...
As I recall, it was a bad weather day.
Yeah. No, that's the thing about movies in general. This is one thing about... Because, you know, you go to see the movie, okay, they're all, you know, boom, okay, they turn on the projector, you get done watching the ad, the ads for the popcorn and the trailer, you watch the movie, the credits roll, you walk out. And you see basically that little 90 minutes to 2 hours of cinema. What you can't see, don't see, never see, unless you like get the DVD Blu-ray set and watch all the interviews and everything, is all the stuff that goes into make that behind the scenes. And you can have a movie that, like, people may have done the best catering and the best, you know, lighting effects and everything that, you know, all the stuff that didn't quite make it under the scenes and put in the, you know, some of the best professional work of their career, you know, doing that movie, and it, you know, you blink and you miss it, but, you know, somebody spent hours dressing that set, somebody spent hours making sure the hair looked the same way in every shot, somebody documented how much frigging wine was in each cup in this scene for, you know, over 3 weeks of shooting or whatever, you never see that. You know, all those little unsung bits of heroism that, you know, make it possible, and you never really hear about that.
Unless you're us. We're the people that do that. All right, trailer reaction, No Time to Die, 25th James Bond movie, 99% chance possibility it's Daniel Craig's last one. You never want to say, well, like somebody once said, never say never again. Never say never again. You never know. But, or Diamonds Are Forever, or Never Say Never Again, or... You never know, but probably it's his last one, and it looks to me, okay, let's wrap this show up. So we're all thumbs up on this. We're all super excited about this.
Oh, yeah. I definitely want to go see this. I'm definitely interested where they're going with this one. I did not, this is the Bond movie nobody expected. We figured Dan Craig was out after Spectre, right? You, me, everybody with three working brain cells and a pulse on the face of planet Earth figured Spectre, James Bond drives off with the girl into the sunset. So this is the Bond we didn't expect. So in the year we didn't expect. So this is the perfect Bond movie for 2020.
It is. It really is. No lie. It is. And I don't know what's going to happen because we're dealing with a Bond that's retired and coming back. This is a kind of Bond story that, as much as this is the big Moonraker type of Bond adventure, this is also a type of Bond story they've never told before. They keep finding ways to tell different kinds of Bond stories while giving you everything you want in a James Bond movie.
I mean, they...
Leia Seydoux. We almost forgot Leia Seydoux.
Oh, yeah.
She was a Madeline Swan inspector and also thrown out of a building in Mission Impossible Ghost Protocol. Leia Seydoux, that wonderful French actress with the eyes that promised the right kind of trouble. Do I kind of have a thing for Leia Seydoux? Maybe I do. Maybe I don't. I'm not going to comment publicly on that. Yes, I do.
You commented publicly on that in the Spectre review.
Did I go off about that in Spectre? I probably did.
You did.
It's on the podcast feed, kids. Go look it up. I surely did. All right. So thumbs up all around. Are we excited?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the trailer did its job. Job of trailers to make you excited and want to go see the movie right the heck now. I want to see the movie right the heck now. Trailer, success.
All right, then. Cool. So this will be your Agents of Cool in this highly uncertain year, but we are here to we're still here. We're still here.
So, literally right here. I checked. The last time I was out of the state was in February, and you know, you Google Maps timeline, you can kind of see the little red dots of where you've been, and you can see the, as you move the month to month, you can see the circle shrinking and shrinking.
The most boring Indiana Jones map travel sequence ever made.
Pretty much.
All right. This is Eric, your grumpy number six, excited for this movie, logging off. And
Stacy, known sometimes as Mrs. Peel. Oh, we should mention that.
Not this show. She gets her own show.
Oh, okay. Logging off.
She gets her own show.
I just thought we might want to mention it as a thing since it's current.
Nah, she gets her own show.
Okay. Anyway, signing off.
This is Raid Agents of Duck Hoops signing out.